Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Shake Them Ropes. Rob McCarron here, joined by Jeff Hawkins, as always. No weeks off, ever. I wanna start by so I live in Northern Indiana, Jeff Hawkins. You, as everyone knows, lives in Wisconsin. And last week, Thursday, it was a week ago, around this time, we had a string of thunderstorms that turned into Supercell City. We had eight. I think the ending number became 21, but in Northern Indiana, there were at least eight confirmed tornadoes.
Wow.
In Northern Indiana, where I was, there was a confirmed F2 within a mile of my house. Heard it. Quite the fun story. But all this to say, there was a lot of weather last week. I had no power for 3 days, including starting on that late afternoon of Thursday. So I do want to apologize to everyone that there was no Shake Them Ropes last week. But I had no power to record. Jeff was traveling, so he already wasn't going to be a part of the episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do I get a hotel to record Shake Them Ropes? And no.
That's so a bit much.
I stayed here with no power. And I was like, okay, well, the storms pass. We're hiding in the lower level because, like, it was loud. It was very gusty. Found out later, you know, I knew there was something going on nearby because I could hear it. But found out later there was an F2 that rolled, you know, from a mile to my house to about 3 miles. It was a long one. And it lasted about 3 minutes, apparently. But yeah, so we heard all that going on. So at first I'm just like, you know, my wife, my dog and I were just kind of hanging out down here and staying away from windows. Like the last thing on my mind at that moment was Shake Them Ropes. Now, granted, I probably shouldn't have waited until Thursday afternoon to record since it was just me. I could have gone earlier and gotten it to you. But something came up the night before. I even told you, I was like, something's coming up. I can't do it this night, but I'll do it our usual time. And then God was like, no, you won't. And
I'll do it this morning. It's like, okay, cool. I kept looking. I was like, what's going on? He's like, oh yeah, tornadoes. I was like, well,
tornadoes.
That makes sense. We had some pretty bad wind and thunderstorms last Wednesday, going into Thursday in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Nothing as bad as yours, but it was still, you know, blew out. I was in a restaurant and the power blew out and everybody left right as my food came. Like the power went out.
It was not good. It was not great. So we had some pretty strong storms and they just didn't stop. They went through the entirety of Indiana, you know, all through Illinois, Wisconsin, and then Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan too. So, I mean, those storms are crazy. Didn't get power back until Saturday night. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day without power. And then we had some other thunderstorms come in last night, but luckily not as bad. So here we are ready to talk about Night of Champions, ready to talk about the biggest story of the week, which is Cristiano Ronaldo is pretty bad at soccer now, right? we're just going to talk about the world of wrestling. You might even, you were gone, so I don't know how in tuned are you with the pro wrestling landscape on TV as of the last couple weeks.
I'm fairly in tune with it. I have to ask this question, Rob.
Ask it.
What is the point of LA Knight? I watched this Raw this past Monday, and my God, like this guy about, I want to say 6 months ago, maybe a little longer. Like he was on that upper card. Like at one time he was actually top three in merch sales when he was on this hot streak. And you thought, well, maybe you could do something with him. Maybe. I'm not saying definitely, but maybe you could do something with him. His job every week now is to come out, basically say, I'm going to get screwed by the Usos, lose to someone within this bloodline thing, and look like an absolute geek because he knows what's going to happen, and then he just loses. And the crowd, it's like the crowd pops for his entrance, and then everybody knows he's just going to lose whatever match he's in. It's one of those things where it's like there's nothing for him to do, and he looks dumb doing it. There's almost a female equivalent in Lyra Valkyria, but I'm not going to go that far with her just yet. But LA Knight is he's there. Hey, man, the bloodline's back and they're bad guys. And then he gets his ass beat. That's all he does.
Gets that ass beat. If he weren't still kind of prominent as far as the people he's working with, because it is the bloodline, it is the Usos. He reminds me of, do you remember this name, Jeff Hawkins? Just Joe. He reminds me of Just Joe, because all he's doing is every once in a while he'll come in, bug the general manager. He, knowing full well he's a nuisance, he comes in and Adam Pearce turns and it's LA Knight, and LA Knight's like, yeah, it's me again. It's like, I'm just going to keep bugging you and not really solve anything. But no, now at least he's going to do it his way. And his way involves getting his ass beat by everyone all at once.
Yes. And not having a plan, not having friends.
No friends. Whatever. What the fuck happened to his tag team partners at WrestleMania? You know, where are the Street Profits at? Where are all these guys who also have problems with the Vision and the Bloodline? I guess now there's the Bloodline and the Vision on the same show. So you have too much going on. You're splitting up all the baby faces so they can't really help out each other.
Yeah, it's like LA Knight. I almost have the same visceral reaction as I do to Jon Moxley's entrance music sometimes now, because it's just like,
oh, here comes
another LA Knight segment where he comes out, he goes, let me talk to you. Everybody says LA Knight, and then he just gets beat. He just gets beat.
How pathetic are you if you're a SmackDown superstar? You got half and half Raw and SmackDown in the Men's King of the Ring tournament. Mm-hmm. And I'm segueing because of LA Knight. LA Knight obviously lost his first round match, but so did everyone on the SmackDown brand.
Yes.
Because it's only Raw from the semifinals on. At least in the King of the Ring, Charlotte broke through. But I mean, it is 7-1 Raw versus SmackDown as far as the semifinals on of the King and Queen of the Ring.
Dare I say. Yeah. B-Show is back, baby.
B-Show is back, and it's going to be a hell of a time if CM Punk's going to SmackDown, because in theory, CM Punk nowadays has been one of, like, Roman Reigns level, top guy, you know, special attraction on the show, doesn't wrestle much on TV, wrestles mostly on the pay-per-views, but the segment is something you got to watch for, and I'm going to be a little bit bummed because I've been able for the last 2 years to basically not have to watch SmackDown. I'm so glad Cody Rhodes has been kept on SmackDown, because nothing he does on TV is must see. But CM Punk a lot of times is kind of like, hey, I want to know what's going on. I want to watch that whole segment. So, you know, now I'm going to have to, it's also been nice. Randy Orton, not because he's injured, but him not being on TV means I really don't have to pay attention to that show. But CM Punk's going to be on SmackDown most likely. And you know what? It's bumming me out a little bit. Okay, I might have to watch this stupid show with all the losers on it.
I think he may show up on SmackDown. I don't think he's going to want to work Fridays, but that's me.
I mean, at this point, maybe he doesn't have a choice. I mean, some people, Cody Rhodes had to switch brands, right? Roman Reigns has switched brands going from SmackDown to Raw. It's like the great reshuffling without the draft. It's you just show up to the other show. Gunther is on SmackDown now. And you got a nice little show here. You got Gunther, Cody Rhodes, potentially CM Punk. They tease CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes. So there's a lead in there to have them on the same show and potentially do something. Maybe we get heel CM Punk at some point. Maybe, because Cody Rhodes, John Cena, you are not. At some point, you got to go heel because the crowd's going to turn you. They turned you at WrestleMania. They're going to turn you again here at some point. Maybe you have a little CM Punk Cody Rhodes on the side there. I got to imagine, I know we're jumping around a lot. There's a lot to get to. Jey Uso is going to be in this final, most likely, of King of the Ring, right? So
yeah,
potentially he could win this. He's not going to be going up against Roman, so he's going to be working the SmackDown champion, which is Cody Rhodes. And God, you want to know a main event match at SummerSlam that's no buys, that doesn't do anything as far as numbers and tickets? Jey Uso versus Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe maybe this is this kickoff for Bloodline truly taking over, and somehow there's Bloodline on both shows, and they're going to be the champions. Who knows? We got to get to the final of King of the Ring first, because every week I keep thinking Brock Lesnar's going to come out here, and now it's going to Saudi Arabia. And are you really going to bring Brock Lesnar all the way to Saudi Arabia just to cause a distraction finish? There's a lot to get to on WWE side.
No, you're not going to bring Brock all the way out there, because Brock's always going to be out of there after the first match and on his plane on his way home. Unless King of the Ring is the first match and you're going to do the distraction there, Brock ain't showing up to that.
I wouldn't think so. So maybe Obafemi gets it. What are you going to do? Obafemi Roman Reigns at SummerSlam when you still got the Brock Lesnar, thing hanging out there. I don't know about this. I don't know about all this. It's interesting that they had Obafemi get all the way to the finals. I mean, that's not surprising per se. It will be surprising if he loses clean, and it will kind of be surprising to me if he wins. I expect a Brock Lesnar. I expect maybe you have the Bloodline just do their business and get Jey Uso a win. And now Obafemi's pissed at everyone, and it sets up for what happens next after Brock Lesnar, where you have Obafemi going for a Roman Reigns. There's a lot to get to. So let's open up, Jeff, with everything that we just said, the top story of everything we just said. Okay.
Okay.
This Leo Rush is really getting more TV time.
Oh, this dreadful character.
This character, I'm starting to see people talk about how, Leo Rush is getting this character over. This character's interesting.
Is it?
No.
No.
I mean, not to me. Is it? I don't know, audience. Is it? Not to me.
I don't Leo find Rush it being, interesting.
Being weird, being gold dust, but darker.
No, Leo Rush.
Darker is darker as in assholes out there, not skin color.
I got you.
Darker as in what kind of weirdness he's bringing.
No, the people will trash me for things that are said because of.
Well, you said it, so.
What?
You said it. I mean, no, don't watch the YouTube video. That was Jeff Hawkins on the doing his best Rob McCarron impersonation.
Okay, yeah. No, I do like Leo Rush, but not this character. I wish he was playing something akin to what Kevin Knight's playing right now. Because that always seemed to be the undersized, cocky guy. But okay. You don't want to talk about Leo Rush.
No, I don't actually want to talk about Leo Rush outside of the fact that, your main event of Forbidden Door, which is next weekend. So next weekend's a pretty big weekend in pro wrestling, because next weekend you're going to have, on the Saturday, you have Night of Champions. On the Sunday, you are going to have All Elite Wrestling presenting Forbidden Door, which... Forbidden Door might be a pay-per-view that's kind of running its course a little bit to me, because every week on Dynamite and Collision, every pay-per-view is New Japan versus AEW versus CMLL. The stars are on all the shows. It's not a special event anymore. And your main event is a six-man tag team match? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six-man tag team match that doesn't have a New Japan element to it. Your only real New Japan matches are Shota Umino versus Pac for the Global Heavyweight Championship, which you would think Global Heavyweight title, that's their number one title, right? No. And then you have Kenny Omega versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Who doesn't even get to promo last night. I just...
Because Zack Sabre Jr., I mean, talk about a guy who's not important in American television, mm-hmm. and really not that big of a guy that's like, oh, he's New Japan. It's just, it's Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, 15 years ago,
yeah,
10 years ago, maybe. Yeah. But you're wasting Kenny Omega matches. You're wasting them. You don't get many of them.
And I hate to say this because I like him a lot, but there's no intrigue in the Mark Briscoe winning the title story because nobody believes that you're ever going to give the title to Mark Briscoe this quickly after putting it on Darby Allin.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're ever putting the title on Mark Briscoe, period. I don't think you'd be doing a service to your TV audience. You wouldn't be doing a service to your stories if Mark Briscoe was the world champion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's one of those where, I mean, a Mark Briscoe title reign would have to be built up kind of like Daniel Bryan's title reign in the early 2010s, right? Like this has to be crowdswell of support. Got to make sure it's there. Really put him over as an underdog, but wins, you know, on the rise up. And yeah, he's won some matches here and there. But he doesn't have that huge groundswell of support from the crowd. I mean, you put them in the ring with MJF and people still want to see what MJF has to say. They still want to boo and cheer for MJF. He's the star in that segment. Because you put Mark Briscoe in that segment with, oh, can you imagine Zack Sabre Jr. versus Mark Briscoe getting 20 minutes of TV time for a promo battle? It'd be the lowest rated segment in Dynamite history. And I like Mark Briscoe. Okay. But this isn't his role. His role isn't to be the top challenger to the world champ.
Right. And you can't do the populist underdog champion this quickly after already having a populist underdog champion. It just kills the entire vibe. Like Darby
especially. Go ahead. Go, keep going. Keep going.
Oh no. I mean, Darby was a pillar. Mark Briscoe, you know, look, he's a great story, but it's like you got to build that thing.
I'm pointing at you.
Okay.
For the five people who watch the YouTube video, they're seeing me do pointies right now. Go ahead.
No, get to your point. I want to hear it.
You're going to have to put the next guy going to MJF, not so much of an underdog, but say it's Will Ospreay. Say Will Ospreay beats Swerve Strickland here and is the next challenger at All In. Okay. There's going to be bullshittery with the Don Callis family and MJF. He's going to be an underdog challenger.
Right.
Okay. So you just Darby Allin underdog challenger, Mark Briscoe underdog challenger, Will Ospreay coming off neck surgery, going up against the world, kind of an underdog challenger. You would think that you might want to save some of these underdog challenger stories for the big match on your biggest pay-per-view of the year, All In.
Yeah, but I don't think MJF's going to be champion at All In. I think Kenny Omega is going to be champion and then Will's going to beat him.
I mean, All In ain't that far away.
No, it's not. But you have this retribution in between.
Yeah.
In Montreal. And I think that's where they're gonna set up the Tony Khan 5-star. Jesus. Here you go, newsletter geeks. All-star work rate match type thing. And you're just going to be like, okay, we'll get like a 1-month build for Kenny and Will Ospreay or something like that. Although I could see Ospreay and MJF at All In. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, because right now you have Redemption on July 26th in Montreal, which very well could be a big match for Adam Copeland and Cage, possibly just Adam Copeland. That could be a big night for them. So maybe that's like one of your main events there. And then August 30th is All in Wembley. Right now there's no All Out All Out scheduled. So who knows what might happen. Very well could be 2 weeks after that or the week after that that you have All Out.
I don't think they are doing that.
I don't think they're doing it either. But August 30th. So you have 2 months. You have this pay-per-view to get through and then 2 months. So yes, I suppose it's possible that MJF isn't the champion. That's a big match. I mean, Will Ospreay and MJF would be a huge match for All In. Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay would be a huge match for All In. But I think MJF and Will Ospreay is the biggest match you have in that promotion for the Wembley Stadium show.
Interesting. Okay. Cause I see the AEW fan base, which is far more interested in not in heat, but in
shit
in the
far more interested than just a mashup of all this shit.
And what will be the match rating on this kind of thing? I think there's the majority of the AEW heads want the Ospreay Omega match.
Well, I want Ospreay Omega too. I'm just saying, not every big match you have has to take place between the start and end of summer.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you have time frame after summer, Tony. Like, there's shows after All In that you can save Kenny Omega for, that you can save Swerve for, that you can save Adam Page for. I just know we're going to get whatever happens at Wembley Stadium, outcomes Adam Page, and that's your big next match, and you just won't let anything sit. Actually, if Will Ospreay wins in Wembley Stadium, I'm guessing there's no post-match challenge.
No, they're going to end with him.
Just yeah. Will Ospreay. You got to have the feel-good moment. But yeah, MJF and Will Ospreay with 2 months of build, hell yeah, I'm in for that. Yeah, I think the crowd would eat it up. Most likely that means Will Ospreay's winning more, and I just think it would be much more energetic crowd of like getting Will Ospreay even more over, and then you can have Kenny Omega being his next challenger. But 2 months in AEW is a long time because you never know what's going to change here on Dynamite, right? Like just the whole different direction, or someone else joining the Don Callis family, or John Moxley throwing a wrench into something. You just never know what's going to happen on AEW TV any week. And that's not always a good thing. Not always. But that's AEW. So I'm glad we're starting with WWE and not AEW.
Okay.
WWE. We have a few of the matches for Night of Champions. I would imagine that we probably are getting at least one more, because right now there's four. There's the King of the Ring final, right. King of the Ring final, Queen of the Ring final.
Right.
Bron Breakker versus Seth Rollins in a cage match, which I would imagine, I don't know if Bron Breakker actually accepted on Raw. If he did, I missed that segment of the show, but we got the challenge out there. They're not doing the challenge unless that match is happening. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen. And then you have, let me get to my notes. Where is this freaking thing? There's a fourth one, I swear. Trick Williams is going to defend the United States Championship either against Ricky Saints or Carmelo Hayes. So right now that is the four matches that are scheduled. I figure we'll probably get at least one more, but your main event, Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, potentially for the final time in a steel cage match.
I thought the Seth promo was pretty good. I'll go out on a limb and say Trick Williams is going to be defending against both Ricky Saints and Carmelo Hayes.
Ooh, so a three-way on the WWE semi-level pay-per-view?
No, well, that way Trick can rest outside while the other two have a work rate match.
Does Ricky Saints have work rate matches?
I think
you're giving Ricky Saints more credit than he deserves. Go ahead, Zach.
Why do I think the women's tag match is going to be on this show?
Well, I think that might be on the show too. Because right now you only have the one women's match. It's Io Sky going up against I think it'll be Charlotte or Liv Morgan. You were going to have Rhea Ripley on the show, but now Rhea Ripley is hurt, so potentially not making this show. So in theory, the fifth match would have been the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Right.
So do you replace it? Does something else happen with the Women's Championship? Is Rhea Ripley going to have to drop it on the SmackDown prior? So there's questions there still. But yeah, I figure you'll get at least five matches on the show. Queen of the Ring. Again, there's one SmackDown competitor angling for the final. On the Raw side, it's all Raw. or on the men's side, it's all Raw. With Obafemi defending. Obafemi closed out Raw this week, not talking about his potential opponent in the King of the Ring final. Still calling out Brock Lesnar. He also expects Brock Lesnar to show up on the show and fuck him over. So why not do it?
All right.
Just do it as he suspects.
And that would make our King of the Ring who? I keep forgetting who he's facing.
Jey Uso.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, no.
Or Javon Evans.
I do not want King Jey Uso.
It's going to be King Jey Uso. There's no, I mean, I guess you could have King Obafemi. Obafemi could win and then gets taken out by Brock Lesnar. What if, Obafemi doesn't fit the Roman Reigns story right now. So I really don't want him to be challenging Roman Reigns.
No, he could easily challenge Cody Rhodes. That's Mania next year. And I think maybe somehow the J match plays into that, because I think he's going to have to go through the bloodline to get to Roman. I think that's the story.
Oh, for sure. But that's still several months away. Yeah. Because as we told Tony Khan, there are months that come after the summer months. So you got to plan ahead for that stuff. Yeah, you very well could have Obafemi win the King of the Ring and challenge Cody Rhodes. I mean,
yeah,
there's not necessarily a set in stone challenger for Cody Rhodes right now. So you could have Obafemi do that match, potentially win the championship, and then go on to be the ruler. And then all of a sudden, boom, you have a title match between Brock Lesnar and Obafemi.
Yeah, you could do that. You could also have Jay go up against Cody very easily. I mean,
that's what I think is going to happen. Next week, we'll do our official preview because we'll have all the matches. We'll know kind of where the stories are going, coming from SmackDown and Raw. So we'll do our official preview for the weekend of pro wrestling that's coming up, with Night of Champions and Forbidden Door. So yeah, big show next week. Don't miss it unless my power goes out. Then all bets are off. What else did you find interesting from TV this week, or from TV while you were kind of having to get it in bite-sized chunks, probably while you were traveling?
Oh, well, that Dynamite last week was nothing. I mean, they started with a Shane Taylor, John Moxley match. I was just like, really?
Could Shane Taylor win the champ? No.
No.
No, he can't. Shane Taylor ain't winning matches on Dynamite, guys.
I was so disappointed in that Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland promo back and forth, because it's just two guys talking past each other without anything legitimate. After that kind of moving moment with Alex Windsor and Ospreay on Dynamite last week, did you see that at least, where she's crying and he goes, and then Ospreay comes on to the TV this way and goes, yeah, I took her up to my room and smashed her, bruv. I'm just like, what are you doing?
I mean, talk about another character who just kind of showed up, like Alex Windsor, just showing up onto AEW TV, and then, like, we're supposed to believe that she's already a high level on the card. We don't know who she is. She's just kind of already there. And there's a difference, right? You get a new person coming up on AEW TV or even WWE TV, and you find out early that, yeah, oh, they're going to win a ton of matches. Okay, they're good. They're kind of on the high level, or maybe you want them to be on a higher level. Obafemi is a little bit of this right now. Obafemi is coming up on TV on Raw. He first started and he was dominating people. Okay. At least he has the NXT time behind him. Alex Winder was just kind of up here and is like, oh, Alex Windsor. She's potentially going to be a challenger someday, or she's like in the challenging mix right now. It's my worst thing about AEW TV is that someone who's never been on AEW Dynamite before, maybe they've wrestled a couple of matches on Collision, no one watches. Maybe they've been on Ring of Honor, no one watches, and definitely no one correlates that to AEW. But it's like, Alex Windsor here is a win away from being a title holder. How? She hasn't been on the fucking show.
There's nothing getting me off in wrestling right now, which is kind of upsetting to me, other than that AAA mask versus mask match.
Everything is here to get you off, Jeff.
Well, I mean, because I like promos, and Tekla's the only person who's giving good promos these days for the most part in any company. But dude, that Owen Hart women's tournament, the finals are two people who weren't even in the tournament.
Well, because, I mean, as lackluster as the King of the Ring tournament has been on both the men's and women's side in WWE.
Yes, that too.
The Owen Hart tournament is as equal or not worse a disaster. It's just, I hate to say it's a stupid tournament because, like, yes, it's a memorial for Owen Hart. I wish that wasn't the case because it's just dumb. No one cares about the results. All of a sudden, no one cares about the results until the final to see who goes on for the championship match. But no one, and on the women's side, like, even the entrants that are in it, you're like, there's no one in here that I would want to see in a pay-per-view title match.
Other than Mercedes, I think.
Other than Mercedes, who again just showed back up.
Right. Yeah, and that's the problem with the Owen Hart, is that it's supposed to get you excited for the two title matches at Wembley. And you're just like, no, kind of a thing. King and Queen of the Ring is a mess because they make it a mess. I mean, it's like, oh, we're going to have these four ways into then getting into the tournament. So it's just messy matches and choreography and nobody's saying what the tournament means to them and all these other things. So you can't get emotionally involved in it. It's just, there's nothing, there's no feud. I mean, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. There's no feud in WWE that's hot. And there's no, and MJF is the only thing that gets you into the building in AEW for the time, because Moxley's doing his Moxley this week cemented that he's playing a Patrick Swayze character again. I thought he was doing Bodhi from Point Break these past few weeks with the Death Riders and Ospreay playing his Keanu Reeves. This week he goes into Roadhouse Patrick Swayze. They're just words. They don't mean anything.
They're just words. Speaking of just words, you are cursed. Have Boy. Been words that have not only set up the main event of Saturday night's main event coming in July from Madison Square Garden. The main event is the fact that Danhausen is going to be there.
Yes.
So we're going to see the New York crowd finally get some time to celebrate the true hero of the NBA championships, Danhausen. But this guy has been all over. Talk about a get for, he's paying for himself.
Yes.
Right now, he's paying for his entire contract by getting WWE press even more alongside the win from the New York Knicks in the NBA Finals. When this first started, it was kind of a funny moment. Danhausen, he curses people. He's going to curse the Knicks. He's going to uncurse them. We'll see where it goes. And man, this could not have paid off any better for WWE. And now they have a serious tie-in to where Danhausen is appearing on sports shows because he is the guy who led the Knicks to the NBA title.
He's all over ESPN with the Stephen A. Smith stuff, but even better is, like, because Jalen Brunson is such a WWE fan, he's embraced it. The Timothy Chalamet thing with the WWE belt, because he's been a wrestling fan for a long time. That was a good thing.
And a legit New York Knicks fan. I mean, the most legit New York Knicks fan in that building is Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, and even the celebrity fans of the New York Knicks have embraced it. So, I mean, like, you could not get, like, we've had these moments before, like when the San Francisco Giants co-opted the Bryan Danielson yes chant, or Daniel Bryan yes chant, and then WWE sought to basically step all over it for the most part instead of letting it go. Although this has been an odd thing where they have turned on the marketing machine, because you can get all sorts of Danhausen New York Knicks stuff. But at the same time, it's not all over Raw necessarily. I mean, they've let it, I mean, they did the one vignette but they let Danhausen do his normal in between commercial stuff on the Netflix feed, but it hasn't been forced down your throat necessarily. I think it's one of those things where, but it's also one of those things you can't really capitalize on, because Danhausen's not going to be the guy you put into matches necessarily that are going to get a lot of fans. So,
but he can do the fun type of matches like he did on Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, he can do the comedy match and I think it might actually lead to something like Danhausen and Jalen Brunson versus Tyrese Halliburton and like The Miz. I don't know, you know, those types of things.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Definitely not Tyrese, because Tyrese ain't going to do anything until he gets on the court again. Coming off of his injury. But yeah, something like that. If you want some celebrity involvement that doesn't have to be a hard-hitting match. Yeah.
Get paid. You know. Get paid, Danhausen. That's all I'm saying, man. If he's
get paid. He is. He's making a boatload of cash, not just for himself, but for WWE being involved in this connection here to the point where you might have some Knicks in the crowd for Saturday night's main event. You continue to have the ESPN WWE synergy because of all this. Even more, and it's pretty organic. I mean, it's not like it's forced down your throat. This is organic ESPN WWE collaboration here with Danhausen. So yeah, I mean, this is the face of a guy that's gonna be one of the WWE superstars seen most on ESPN in the next month. It's gonna be Danhausen, not Not CM Punk, not Jade Cargill, Danhausen.
Right. And kids have taken to this thing. I mean, yeah, there's face painting booths at WWE shows where you can get your face painted like Danhausen.
Get your face painted like the star. Wear the mask, you know, buy the mask for $30-$40. Mm-hmm. Why not? So yeah, there's going to be a lot of Danhausen coming at Saturday night's main event. One of the few shows now that is still on Peacock for WWE for the time being, I suppose. But yeah, that is still going on Peacock there. And we'll have that, you know, in a few weeks, because I think it's 3 weeks after Night of Champions is going to be the next Saturday night's main event. We'll see if it gets a better show than Fort Wayne, Indiana did, as much as hot as the crowd was in Fort Wayne. Kind of a nothing show.
I think they're going to go all out for MSG.
I think so too. It very well could be. That's where you get a title match, like an actual world title match. I don't think your main event's going to be Penta for the IC title in that one.
No.
I don't see that happening.
Do we get all the A-listers on the MSG card?
Not all of them. Because 2 weeks after that is SummerSlam. So no, you're not going to get, I don't think you're getting Roman Reigns working a match until SummerSlam.
Okay.
Because whatever's going to happen, Saturday night's main event might have something to do with SummerSlam. It might be whoever, you know, Obafemi. You could do Obafemi Brock, not even wait until Minnesota. You know, everyone thinks that it's just going to be, oh, well, it's happening in Minnesota. So why not do Brock Lesnar's match there? No, he could be the main event of MSG.
He could, but if they did like say an Oba Cody match and he wants it at MSG, that's where you could bring out Brock.
Yeah, the only negative with that, or the only reason why I think it wouldn't happen, is we still have that prospect of WWE kind of watering down the NBC cards because they want all the big stuff to be on ESPN.
Yeah.
So while I think you're going to have an A-lister on Saturday night's main event because it's New York, because it's MSG, you're not getting the Brock Lesnar match.
I forget that it's Peacock only sometimes, and Peacock isn't worth pushing.
There's this redheaded stepchild of Saturday night's main event that still lives on Peacock and doesn't live in the actual WWE universe. It's just out there, and we don't talk about it afterwards too much. We don't talk about it, you know, ever since the retirements, ever since John Cena left Saturday night's main event, not as big of a deal.
Speaking of which, there was a story this week. WWE still doesn't know what the John Cena Classic's going to be.
Of course not. I don't think we're getting it this year. And if we get it, it's going to be December. I don't think we're getting it this year, bro.
Okay. So yeah, it's just they announce this thing and they don't do it.
You have a date. Well, they're going to do it eventually. I have to believe they're going to do it eventually. But yeah, it's just not, they had a date for John Cena. They wanted to announce something, you know, Triple H is like, let's do a tournament. Yay. But then they realize that, oh, there's kind of a tournament going on, and John Cena Classic may not be an actual tournament, but it's kind of in that vein where, you know, someone's going to win the night, even though they're not wrestling each other. So I think, okay, we got King of the Ring, so we can't do it right now. We got SummerSlam. It's a 2-night extravaganza. And then we're going to have Survivor Series. We're going to have a couple of Saturday night's main events. Like, will this show live on a Saturday night's main event? I think it will eventually. I honestly thought that the Fort Wayne Saturday night's main event happening in May was going to be the John Cena Classic because that's about the time he announced it. And you're like, okay, that makes sense. Do that for Saturday night's main event. Yeah. I think they're going to do this match. They're going to do this show, but it's not until December at the earliest. And you can't do it after that because then you got WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble and all these things that are happening. So if they don't do it in December of this year, you're not going to see it until probably the summer of next year at the earliest.
The post-Mania between.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Money
at
in the Bank.
Backlash.
Yeah. Well, Money in the Bank, it moved from summer to fall this year.
Yeah.
So, and if they were, well, actually, you know what you could, and oh, cause you have Saturday night's main event. It would have to be silly season in between Mania and SummerSlam somehow.
You know, what would be silly season is that again, they don't know how they're going to run this John Cena Classic. Like, will it be Taboo Tuesday where people vote? Will it be, why not combine it with the Money in the Bank match, right? Hear me out here. Now, granted, there would be too many matches on this show to do it at Money in the Bank. But you have 5 matches. You have 5 matches on the show. And then the crowd has to vote for who their best favorite performer was in that match. And then they go on to the Money in the Bank match.
Yes. The 5 winners of that, of the matches. Okay.
Well, not the winners of the matches. No, the winners of the fan vote.
Of the vote. Right.
Because you could have a fan favorite. You could have, who would you even have? I don't even know who's a fan favorite that could lose and still get voted. Maybe a Javon Evans. If Javon Evans
Rey Mysterio
versus Gunther. Gunther wins. He thinks he's going to get in that Money in the Bank for a contract. Nope. The fans voted for Rey. So he gets into the match.
Broken down Rey going, I just got my ass beat by Gunther, and now you're making me climb a ladder? The hell's wrong with you people?
That's right. So your winner of the Money in the Bank is the winner of the John Cena Classic. I mean, why not? Why not? My last thing for this episode of Shake Them Ropes, Jeff, I wanted to get, this is a kind of a sad story. This is not, you know, all fun and games. The RKO is a devastating maneuver. And ever since Jelly Roll suffered that RKO, his life has not been the same.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.